Agenda item nine, report possible, discussion and possible action from report, on report from technical consultant Corolo, 9.1, preliminary summary of draft municipal historical use and GPCD amounts.
Good morning, everybody.
Tony.
Good to see you. There we go. So today I have about a 15-minute or so presentation. Going to summarize kind of what we've been doing, where we are, where we're going, and we'll be looking for an action from you at the end of this presentation. But it's not a complex, sophisticated action by any means. Here's a depiction from the Water Development Board of the overall schedule. You got to love it in a two-point font. You can really understand a lot when you see that. But the reason why I show it to you is because it is the big picture of 5 years worth of work, and we're slowly moving along about halfway through that second year of the five-year process. I think where we are in terms of the budget, I try and give you a little snapshot every time. We're roughly 7% at the time of this preparing the presentation. We're at 7% through the budget. I believe now, as of today, we're at 9% through the budget. Those green items are what were in the initial approved allocation that Pam alluded to just a moment ago. These gray items are the various remaining tasks. Actually, they're going to be tweaked a little bit because some tasks have been removed by the Water Development Board. But those gray items are the ones that are going to be approved and incorporated into the updated contract that we'll be working from going forward. So I think the one with regards to some of the question marks there were there in the last planning cycle, but won't be there in this present planning cycle. You'll have an updated snapshot at our next meeting because we'll have the contract updated now that you guys have approved for us to do that. But we're about 7 to 9% through the budget expenditures at this point. Where we've been, where we're going, Gene laid out a few items that are coming down the pipeline. You'll recall that I presented to you previously on the first portion of non-municipal demand information that was rolled out from the board earlier this year in March. We're still working on that. We also have received a draft list of water user groups, WUGs, that are in the region, along with some historical data on per capita usage and water use. I'm going to give you a snapshot of some of that today. And then we've started compiling that information for a deadline that's coming up here on July 29th, where we are to submit proposed revisions to that draft WUG list and the historical data to the Water Development Board. And that's one of the actions we're going to be talking about with you today. Where we're heading, we're going to make those contract amendments, and we'll get the second half of the non-municipal demand information from the board in the August-September timeframe. So don't take these as locked in stone. We're trying to adapt as the information rolls out from the Water Development Board. But just to give you perspective on where we're at today, what I'll be doing is going over that historical municipal population information, the water use information, how that folds into what was done in the past. And we look at it in terms of per capita usage and why that's important for how we project future demands for municipal use in the future. And then I'm going to go through briefly the WUG list, what has changed from the previous cycle, and one recommendation for a revision to recommend to that this body adopt as a revision to submit to the Water Development Board. And we'll be seeking approval on that at the end. Not to talk down to anybody. I realize that there's a lot of water experts in the room, but there might be a handful of folks that are new to the process. So I like to include a couple of slides just when we rattle off acronyms like nobody's business. It's good to at least have a brief snapshot of what those acronyms mean, because I'll be saying WUG quite a bit today. That means water user group. Those are the fundamental elements that we plan for the regional planning process. So that's a WUG. And then also you'll see GPCD, gallons per capita daily. It's the amount of water used per person per day. And it's a fundamental unit that we use in our planning process for developing future demand. So looking at the historical information that we've got, How do we establish a municipal water user group? Well, in the past rounds, until last planning cycle, that was done with municipal boundaries. So we had population criteria for city-owned utilities. We had volumetric criteria for other water utilities. But starting with the last plan and continuing today, we do what we call utility-based planning, where we're going to look at the CCNs and the water provider service areas, and that dictates the boundaries of the WUG, the water user group, and the number of connections with that water user group serves, and that's how we start to develop what their supply is and what their ultimate municipal demand is. And we take that historical information and we start vetting it for, all right, who qualifies as a WUG? And there are identification criteria that are specified through the Texas Administrative Code, as well as with the Water Development Board and their guidelines. They are retail public utilities owned by a political subdivision providing more than 100 acre feet per year of water for municipal use. They can also be privately owned utilities that request inclusion as an individual WUG that provide more than 100 acre feet per year, again, for municipal use for each owned water system, and importantly, are approved for inclusion as an individual WUG by this planning group. Water systems of state or federal owned facilities, they can also request to be a WUG, and this planning group can consider those requests and include them and have done so historically in the past. And then lastly, there are collective reporting units called CRUs, another acronym. Those are groups of retail public utilities that have some kind of common interests that can be bound together and request to be represented as a cohesive unit if approved by the planning group. This planning group, as a matter of fact, has two that I'll point out later. This is just an overall map that the Water Development Board provides of all of the WUG's boundaries as of the 2021 plan. That are mapped in GIS that we can take and develop all sorts of various analyses that we will go into. But this snapshot will be updated at some point in the future as the Water Development Board receives the approved WUG lists or any revisions that are coming down the pipeline. They will then update the map, and we will use that map as the basis for our planning purposes. I like to present it in a context, since most of the folks in the room have been around for at least one planning cycle. I like to present it in the context of what's different from last time, because you're familiar with what happened last time. And so building off that, in the last planning cycle, on the municipal side of things, there were 267 water user groups that were planned for. With the draft information that we've gotten from the Water Development Board, for the purposes of this present planning cycle, there is a net addition of 5 additional WUGs. Actually, there's 7 more, but then there are several that have several existing WUGs that have incorporated other water user groups via purchase or through incorporation of their supply area in a couple of instances. But looking at the use of those WUGs, what the Water Development Board did, they identified a new WUG by determining whether or not the utility used more than that number of 100 acre feet per year by looking through the 2015 through 2019 water use survey data, which is specified by the Texas Administrative Code. So again, you'll hear a lot over the coming years we talk about municipal use, that where this all stems from is water use surveys. And that comes from those individual entities that fill those out annually. And so our job as the technical consultant is to root through those surveys, ensure that they've been reported accurately, ensure that they've been interpreted accurately, and are being used appropriately for the subsequent estimations of population and connections served and water that's used annually. We have the opportunity to do a little bit of a comparison. The census data, at least at the county level, is made available to us through the Water Development Board. They are presently working on breaking that census data down from the county level to the individual WUG level. All of those in that map earlier, they're doing the work now. It comes from the state demographer's office, and then the board collaborates with them. That's what they're doing at present. They will be done with that, and it's anticipated. Jean had it up in one of her notes earlier. It's anticipated that that information will roll out around February, first quarter of next year will be when we get that. However, we do have the county information now, and so we can look at that and start making some inferences on, well, what are we going to be seeing for this planning process? One of the things that bears out of the comparison, looking at the projections of population growth in Brazos G from the last planning cycle, you can see in green there, that's what the projected municipal population was estimated to be for the last planning cycle. You can look and see that estimate for 2020, and we can compare that to the census numbers. We actually have them there in blue. But you can look at 2020 and see, well, how well did we do? And they do compare reasonably well. I mean, typically the board's looking for somewhere within 5%, and we undershot by about 1.7%. What does that mean for what we're doing now? Well, the regional population total, as the board is working with the demographer's office to come out with the new numbers, they look at, well, how accurate were our past projections relative to the census? And they can make adjustments. Well, the region total population projection can only be increased, and there's several criteria. If the region appears to be underprojected compared to the census population estimate, if one or more of the counties within the region appears to be underprojected by 10% or more, and the region does not include counties that appear to be overprojected by 10% or more, that could be reduced to offset the increase in the underprojected county. That's a whole lot of words. What's that mean? Well, what that means is that the board typically looks at how well are we doing overall, and if there are some counties that are overprojected and other counties that are underprojected, the board will allow the planning group to make adjustments with the overprojected and the underprojected to try and get it more accurate to the actual census data. And so we'll have that opportunity to make those adjustments once the board provides their projections in February. So how did we do at the county level? This is a depiction. Counties along that horizontal axis there, in alphabetical order. But those lines above zero or below zero represent the relative percent difference between the projected population for a county and the census population for the county as of the last planning cycle. And what you see is the lion's share of them were overprojected by some amount, relatively within 20%. Most, three-quarters of all the counties, the projections were within 10% of the census. However, there were nine counties that were over-projected: Bosque Falls, Knox, Limestone, Robertson, Shackelford, Stonewall, Throckmorton, and Young. So they were over-projected by more than 10%. But I also think it's important that when we talk about the difference between the census and a projection, that we consider not just the percent difference, but the magnitude of the difference. And that's really where the information leaps out at you, the magnitude of the difference. Yeah, we might have been off by 10% overprojected in some months, but those were in relatively small populated counties. And in fact, the largest difference that's observed between the census and the projections, and it's not going to come as a surprise to anybody, is Williamson County, where there was significant growth, and that the projection last planning cycle for 2020 was 560,000. The census is approximately 609,000, which was an under projection. And so that's why the overall picture, there's a slight under projection for the region. That's just because of the magnitude of the size of the population in Williamson County. So what does that mean for us? It means you can expect that when the next round of projections roll out in the first quarter of next year, you're going to see some significant adjustments, particularly in Williamson County. That we can anticipate that's coming down the pipeline. why is all this important in terms of discussing population? Well, population then folds into how we estimate demand. This is an interesting picture from the Water Development Board that shows in the black there, historical water use by municipal entities in Region G. And you can see how it's slightly increasing over time on an annual basis. You can see in 2011 that peak. Again, those of you that were around remember the drought in 2011. And you can see this swath of various colored projections represent since the 2002 State Water Plan, how Brazos G has estimated projections of water use for municipalities. And you can kind of see the similarities and differences. At the top is the blue line, that's the last planning cycle. And so that demand is where we're going. We're going to develop a new projection for municipal demand, not today. We don't have that information yet. That's coming from the Water Development Board. But you can get a sense of the magnitude of where we're going to be circling at for the 2026 planning cycle. How we get to that demand and how we will get to that demand is by looking at the historical population amounts, relating them to that per capita usage. And there's a baseline per capita usage for every individual WUG. All 270 municipal WUGs will have a baseline per capita number. And it will include plumbing savings from the evolution of plumbing fixtures over the years. I cherry-picked one here to give you an example of what we're going to be doing, and then I'll wrap this up. This example here looks at 2010 through 2015 per capita usage. And in the last planning cycle, a baseline per capita usage for this particular WUG, I believe the one I've cherry-picked is 439 WSC. That Water Supply Corporation had a baseline number that the planning group adopted. And they used that baseline per capita number times population projections to get demand for that WUG. However, for the 2026 plan, we are getting from the Water Development Board, I keep pointing at Jean like she's the one rolling it out. We are getting from the Water Development Board baseline per capita numbers that are draft that we can start looking at now. And those baseline numbers take the baseline from the last planning cycle and apply additional plumbing savings that result in around a 7% decrease in the per capita usage. And that's just a starting point for our evaluation. And what are we going to do when I say our evaluation? Well, we've got additional data that has occurred and been reported to the state over this period here highlighted in blue. And for this particular WUG, you see that their per capita usage is actually higher now than even when it was during the drought of 2011. What we'll be doing, the consultant team, is engaging with WUGs and talking with them about their usage, what they've reported. Is this an appropriate representation of their per capita usage? Does it reflect any kind of drought contingency or anything like that? Or is this because of growth in their area? Smaller WUGs, their per capita usage may continue to grow. We want to capture that, bring it back to the planning group so we'll be able to look you in the eye and say, yes, this is representative. We think that the old baseline may no longer be appropriate, and we'll be bringing some new ones for your consideration. But we're going to be doing that homework with those municipal WUGs. That's where we're heading at this time. I'm not proposing any revisions today. This is merely to get you calibrated a bit on where we're going on the per capita side of things with municipal WUGs, so that as we continue, we will build upon this and have this conversation in the future as we're engaging with folks. So what are we seeing in some of those draft per capita numbers? Roughly 45% of them or so have a per capita usage greater than 140. Last planning cycle, it was around 53% or so, just to give you an order of magnitude. So not significantly difference from last time. And again, that reduction is related to the plumbing savings that the Water Development Board has applied to the draft numbers. But what I think is important here, what we've teased out of the data that we've gotten so far, is over here on the right, which is, well, when we're looking at all these various water providers in Brazos G, and they've got per capita usage that varies year to year, where's the maximum? When has that occurred? Well, for a majority of water providers in the region, it's in 2011. That's obvious. That leaps right out. But there are a not insignificant number of water users that have maximum per capita usage in other more recent years than what might have been available. And so we'll be looking and talking with those WUGs to see if if it's appropriate to use a different baseline and then come back to you with proposals of, well, what would a different baseline look like? Is it appropriate for a different baseline to be used, or is 2011 the most appropriate? Again, it's going to be situational depending on the WUG, depending on a lot of conditions related with each one of those WUGs, and we'll be talking with them and engaging with them and circling back with you over the course of this next year. Does that make sense to everybody?
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible that the 37 in 2020 are within a few percentage points of the 2011? In other words, could we group them to get a better?
Very, very much so. Yes. This is literally the draft information we've got from the board and a snapshot of those maximums. We have not delved into each individual one yet, and because we really want to get the data from the board that we can start engaging the WUGs and talking with them about that. Because certainly during drought times, like we're experiencing now, some folks are going to have drought contingency plans that are going into effect and restrictions. And those things can influence the reported per capita number that's being used. And we need to adapt to those appropriately when we're trying to establish a baseline usage that then folds and has a manifest effect on every projected demand decadally from 2030 through 2080 that we'll be developing. So we really want to dial in on the per capita numbers. And that's why I'm giving you a brief primer on at least what we have today, with the idea that this will be an important discussion that we're going to build upon in the future. So thought it warranted a little bit of attention today.
Jennifer's got a question.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to say that this is really encouraging to see you drilling down on the GPCD numbers, because the municipal work group of the Water Conservation Advisory Council met on Monday, and we were really kicking around the GPCD numbers, because it seems like for a long time that 140 GPCD was just like, oh, if you meet that magic number, then everything's great. And then a lot of utilities, I mean, College Station included, we went past it, and I was like, wait, that's not possible. So yeah, we need to, like, in this next round, definitely look at something different, because 140 is maybe just not as relevant as it was before.
Right. I mean, there's a whole range, and I'm sure every water provider has their own experience that can weigh in on, you know, on the small side with rural folks that might be below 60. And obviously, as you increase in size and increase in the sophistication of your provision of water, that per capita usage will start increasing. You get watering of lawns and things like that. So it naturally does increase. And on the other side of the equation, you have, you know, the more intergalactic water providers that provide, you know, like the city of San Antonio as an example. That historically they were very high per capita usage, but have worked over the last several decades through conservation efforts to reduce, to go come down from 200 down to 170, 160, 150 in those ballparks. So it's a situational discussion for every water provider, and it's one that we delve into to make sure that when we pick what we call the baseline, and we pluck that out of the historical information, that we represented appropriately to come up with those demand numbers. So that's exactly where we're circling around. That's the name of the game. What's the takeaway message here? Well, two things. One, we can expect that the draft population projections, when they are rolled out from the Water Development Board, they're going to be modified from what we saw last planning cycle to better align with the 2020 census. We can expect that. There's probably going to be, and this is prognostication on my part, I'll tell you if I was wrong, but where there's probably going to be small commensurate decreases in some of the over-projected water user groups, and there's likely to be more significant increases for, like, Williamson County, where we significantly under-projected last go-round. So we can kind of expect that. And then as those projections roll out, We'll be working to ensure the accuracy of the water use survey data, as well as digging into those per capita numbers. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Kenny.
So appreciate that summary and information. On the building code relationship to the plumbing savings, not all municipal users have adopted the same code. So how does the plan account for that variation? And what percentage of the overall strategy does plumbing savings really affect? I mean, is it, so, I mean, if we're talking about 2%, I can see this isn't that big an issue, but 7%.
Seven.
Okay.
That's at least the effect that, as the Water Development Board makes the assumptions on the plumbing savings, then it's a roughly 7% decrease in the per capita baseline.
Okay,
so from the last plan to this plan.
Okay, so then are they assuming that all municipalities have adopted the most current building code?
I believe so. I don't know that it's based on a particular code. I think it's a generalized assumption that they are adopting some level of codes that are being implemented just by dint of new hardware. So new fixtures, new toilets, things like that.
Okay, well, I don't know if this can be a part of your data collection effort, but I think it would be interesting to know. I mean, I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but there may be a great variation. And I don't know if you know, looking at the 2002 versus the 2015, if there's a huge difference in what the thresholds are, but that might be an issue to understand. I don't think there's certainly not a mandated adoption of the code. That's left to each individual political entity. I do know that. So, I mean, you see the point I'm making here.
Sure, and I would say the other important element is that it can't continue forever, right? Eventually, everybody's going to have new fixtures, right? So the folks that have worked on this estimate have also been paying attention not just to what's been done historically, but also looking at, it's almost effectively build out is a way of looking at it, in the sense that eventually in 10, 20 years' time, the homes, the apartment complexes, whatever, are going to have adopted and incorporated those new plumbing fixtures with new savings. And so assuming that the savings would continue for 50 years for our planning process wouldn't necessarily be appropriate. So they've actually looked into, I believe it's 2030, 2040, in that time frame, that the plumbing savings no longer apply. So that even further dials in when we're talking about where does this affect and by how much. It's within this 2030 now for this planning cycle, 2030, 2040 range of projections. That's where that will come into play. But you're absolutely right. And when we're talking with the various WUGs, that's one of the parts of the conversation we're going to have with them, is about their awareness of, well, to what extent have plumbing fixtures, here's the assumption that's being applied at the state level for consistency across the state. At the local level, does this make sense for you, or should we revise it and adopt it? And we can get that input documented, and the board is absolutely looking for that from us. So we can address that. Now,
any other questions on that agenda item?